Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The Word of God, please, John chapter 10. John chapter 10 this morning. We appreciate you being here today. God bless you. We're going to be in this passage for several services. I'll be honest with you, and I was studying through these opening 21 verses, if you're keeping notes with me, as I preach through the Gospel of John. We've come to chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, and we'll be here for several services. I feel like falling down and just worshiping the Lord for what I've been studying in these verses, asking God to speak to us and challenge us with His Word. We do appreciate you being here today. God bless you for coming, and I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Every time the Word of God is opened, God is speaking, and He wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to you. So ask Him to do so. Look at chapter 10. I'm just going to read one verse to get our title, because we'll be reading a majority of this, if not all of this, as we travel through these services together. Look at verse number 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus Christ made this statement. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the three words, the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He's not a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. There's only one. And His name is Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and we begin this thought this morning. Father, we love You today. Thank You for the privilege of being here. Thank You for having the health to be able to come. And I pray this morning, as You've laid this message on my heart, and as You have just bombarded me in my study, I pray that You will take these thoughts, and may I not speak with man's wisdom, but may I speak in demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that You take Your word, take Your servant, and may You preach through me today. May the will of God be done, and may when we leave, we be able to say it's been good to be in the house of God. Challenge us now, I pray. Save the lost. Encourage the saved. Challenge us to be more like You, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you come to this chapter, as we're studying through this book together, we've just completed chapter 9. Where the Lord Jesus Christ has just healed a man that was born blind. This man was cast out by the unbelieving religious Pharisees, and the Lord finds him and points him to Himself as the Son of God. The Lord has been proving in chapter 9 that as He identifies Himself, that He is the light of the world. In all of these names that He gives Himself, He's showing a different characteristic of Himself, who He is and what He can do. And in chapter 9, we study Him as being the light of the world. When you come to chapter 10, He shifts His focus to another aspect of His character. He speaks concerning Himself and calls Himself the Good Shepherd. You know, within the pages of God's Holy Word, the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as different kinds of shepherds. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, He's identified as the great shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, He's identified as the chief shepherd. But here He calls Himself the good shepherd. This is a great word. Because when you look up this word good, you know what it means? It means I'm the beautiful shepherd. It means I am the valuable shepherd. I am the virtuous shepherd. I am the worthy shepherd. And I am the honest shepherd. It's all in that word. When you think about what kind of a shepherd is Jesus Christ, by studying these verses here, and really all through Scripture, but just tying ourselves down to these 21 verses, by the end of these at least three services that it's going to take us to get through these verses, we're going to be able to look back and say, I'm going to tell you one thing, He really is a beautiful shepherd. I'll tell you one thing, hey, He is a valuable shepherd. He's the virtuous. He's the worthy. He's the honest shepherd. What a great word this is. As a result of this passage, I went home and I was speaking to my beautiful bride. And she is a beautiful bride. Speaking of my beautiful bride, and while I was studying these verses, and I told her, I said, I just feel like falling down on my face and worshiping the Lord. These verses are absolutely jammed, packed with beautiful things about the Good Shepherd. Now, I can't wait to get to point three, but I'm not even going to get there this morning. Because point three is really the points that make you want to just fall down and say, thank you, Jesus. But before we ever get there, I want to give you two other things. I'm giving you three main things about the Good Shepherd. Let me go ahead and give you the outline. That way, I hope you come back to hear what's under it, okay? Number one is sanction. Number two, his sheep. Number three, his service. I cannot wait to get to his service. The different things that the Good Shepherd does for his sheep. But let me start with the first two things here. First of all, as we notice the Good Shepherd this morning, number one, I want you to notice his sanction. Now, don't let that word throw you off. That word just means his confirmation, his ratification, his authority, so to speak. We see this in verses 1 to 4. Read this with me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, when you read these verses here, when I was looking at this and even heard this verse quoted or whatever the case may be, or read this verse in verse number one, I was under the mistaken idea that he's talking about salvation. That if you try to climb up the wall and instead of going through the door, you're not going to make it. That is not what he's talking about here. He talks about that later in the chapter, that he is the door, and he that comes in by me, he shall be saved. But right here, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about the shepherd. Now stay with me here. These verses show how the Lord was truly confirmed, sanctioned, ratified, authorized, that he really is the shepherd of the fold. See, at first glance, you may think, as I've already said, that these verses deal with the way people enter for salvation. But notice, he is speaking of the right of the shepherd, not the way of the sheep. See, the sheep are already in the fold, you see. He's talking about those that try to climb in as owning the sheep, as the shepherd of the sheep. Anybody that tries to climb over the wall, he said he's a thief, he's a robber. But the shepherd comes in by the door. What's he saying? He's saying, I have been proven, I have been sanctioned, I have been confirmed that I am the one shepherd of the sheep. You say, how is he sanctioned? How is he proven to be the shepherd of the sheep? By the way, there's all kinds of proofs throughout Scripture. I'm tying myself down to these verses. Let me give you two major ways that he was sanctioned to be the shepherd. First of all, he says, I am sanctioned to be the shepherd. I am the shepherd because, first of all, I enter by the door. Notice what he said in verse number 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. One man put it well by saying, the Lord Jesus was the genuine shepherd. That the Lord Jesus was the genuine shepherd was evident. He had entered by the door. He had entered by the legitimate means of entry. He had been born of a virgin that Isaiah 7:14 prophesied that the shepherd would be born by a virgin. Matthew 1:21-23, he was born of a virgin. The Old Testament said he'd be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, Matthew 2:4-6, he was born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4 that he would come in the fullness of time, and out of Egypt God would call his son. Hosea 11:1, Matthew 2:14-15. His arrival revival would provoke the rage of the enemy. Jeremiah 31, 15, Matthew 2, 16 to 18. Thus he was, get this, he was saying, I've come by the door. I've come by the entry. In other words, what the Old Testament said, the Old Testament entryway, I have come through the legitimate way into the fold. He said, I'm the right person, born in the right place, arriving at the right time, summoned from the right country, and attended by the right sign. Amen. This is what he's saying. One man said the simple meaning of this is that Christ presented himself to Israel in a lawful manner, in strict accord with the Holy Scriptures. He says those who tried to enter some other way, other than the door of the sheepfold, he said they're a thief and they're a robber. Oliver Green enlightened this by saying, and I quote, the Greek word rendered thief in this verse means secret fraud and dishonesty. But the Greek word meaning robber implies open violence. Do you understand there are different kinds of false teachers? There are the secret ones who try to sneak in. And there are the robbers who are just bold, boisterous, in your face. May I say this to you? These who are trying to come in some other way, these who are trying to come into the fold some other way, in other words, they're trying to climb up here, not in accordance with the Word of God, not coming through the one entryway. They're trying to come up here, whether they're thieves, silent, or whether they're robbers, in your face. God says there's only one shepherd, and I am him. Some of these false teachers are bold, bragging about their liberalism. They take great pride in denying the virgin birth, the verbal inspiration of Scriptures. But others are subtle. They come dressed in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves. Oliver Green said, these are the most dangerous. Number one, he was sanctioned to be the rightful shepherd in that he entered by the door. But secondly, he was sanctioned to be the shepherd in that the porter opened to him. Oh, this is a blessing here. Look at verse 3. To him, the shepherd, the porter openeth. The word porter here means a gatekeeper. It means a keeper of the door. Back in this day, you will find that shepherds many times would bring their sheep at the close of the day and turn them over to the care of a porter. In other words, they would put them in a fold, and a porter was there, and sometimes the shepherd would go home to sleep in his own bed, and then the sheep were left in the control, in the security of the porter, the gatekeeper. The next day, the shepherd would come, and the porter would recognize him. The porter would know him. The porter would understand his voice and recognize his features, and the porter would open the door for him to get his sheep. All others who came to cry, I'm talking about all others who came to try to claim that sheep, the porter would keep the door closed because he knew the sheep did not belong to him. What is the Lord saying here? What the Lord is saying is that the porter, the keeper, the one who watches and guards, he recognizes the shepherd, and he opens the door to one person and one person only, and that's the shepherd. One man put it well by saying, and I ask you this question, who's the porter? Who's the porter? Who's the one that's watching and has the power to open the door to the sheep? Who's the one who can introduce the shepherd to the sheep? Who's the one who knows who the shepherd is? I submit to you that we see two people here. First of all, I agree with this preacher who said, no doubt presented here is a direct reference to John the Baptist. May I say to you that John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Christ? He was the forerunner of the shepherd, and he knew who the shepherd was. He's the one that came to prepare the way of the Lord. He's the one that introduced the shepherd to Israel. This is him. But I submit to you there's a wider application here. There's no doubt in my mind that the porter represented here is the Holy Spirit of God. And may I say to you that if you want to know who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit will tell you who he is. If you want to know if Christ is the only way to heaven, the Holy Spirit will confirm if he's the only way to heaven or not. May I say to you that it's a blessed thought that the porter, John the Baptist in the old, what I'm talking about right here, John the Baptist, as the Lord was born into this world and preparing his way, that's the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. That's the shepherd of the fold. But now today, the Holy Spirit of God stands at the door, watching, protecting, caring, securing. But when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, he steps to the side, opens the door, because he knows those sheep belong to this man. Glory, what a picture. What a picture. Number one, we see his sanction. Number two today, this is as far as we'll get, we see his sheep. By the way, isn't it great to be known as a sheep in the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, if he's your shepherd today, you can shout the victory. Amen. The second major thing we see before we even get to his service, honestly, I'm wanting to get to that. I'm not going to get to it till tonight. Not even going to get through it tonight. But this is so vitally important. The second major thing we see about the Good Shepherd is not only his sanction, he has been proven to be the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And it's proven because he came the right way. It's proven because the porter knows him and opens the door to him. But then we see a beautiful thing about him, and that is his sheep. If you're a child of God, you are part of the sheep of God Almighty. The Bible says in Psalm 95, verse 7, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The only alternative to being a sheep is to be considered a goat that'll be cast away from him for all eternity in Matthew chapter 25. May I say this to you, in these verses, the Word of God shares several things that summarize the sheep of the shepherd. And as we look at these things, I want us all to ask ourselves this question. Does that prove that I'm a sheep? Does that prove that I'm a sheep? May I say this to you, if you are a sheep in the shepherd's fold, these same things will be in your life. So examine yourself, as the Apostle Paul says. Let a man so examine himself whether he be in the faith or not. Hey, don't be afraid to put your salvation to the test. By the way, these thoughts are not to spread doubt. No. But these thoughts are to spread assurance, and then also to cause people to say, am I really a sheep in the Good Shepherd's fold? You know what somebody asked me recently on visitation? Look me right in the eye, and I'm paraphrasing, but they asked me this question. Do you believe everybody at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is going to heaven? You know what my response was? I sure hope so. What a shame it would be to sit in a church that preaches the gospel, preaches Jesus as the only way to heaven, not church membership, not the baptistry, but Christ and Christ alone and his death, burial, and resurrection. What a shame it would be to sit in a church service and sit in a church like this and think to yourself, I prayed a prayer as a kid, it never changed my life. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I prayed a prayer when I was younger. Listen to me. If you've not had a radical change, now I'm not talking about if you were saved at five, you had a radical change. That's not what I'm talking about. May I put it this way? If you don't have a new nature, a sheep is not a goat, friends. And a goat is not a sheep. They're different. And if you cannot prove by your life that you're a sheep, you have every reason to doubt your salvation. Now, again, I'm not saying that to get you to doubt. Please understand my heart. Because God wants you to know you're saved, 1 John 5:13. He wants you to know you're in the family. Don't settle for a little prayer you prayed. Can you prove that your nature has been changed? Let me give you several things about the sheep here. First of all, ask yourself this question. First of all, here it is. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. Now look at verse 3 and notice this. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Notice verse number 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Notice this now. For they know his voice. Now, let me explain this. Sheep, now get this. I'm talking about the animals themselves. Sheep will not respond but only to the voice of their shepherd. Now get this. The word know here means to understand it. It means to perceive it. It means that the sheep know when they hear that voice, that's the shepherd. Stay with me here. J. Vernon McGee said when I was, talking about himself, when I was near Bethlehem, he said he spent some time over a sheepfold that was still in use back in this day. A sheepfold is an enclosure where shepherds put their sheep for the night. And the porter has charge of it. This is J. Vernon McGee speaking here. Then the shepherd spends the night in his own bed. Then he comes to the sheepfold in the morning. His sheep are all mixed up with somebody else's sheep. There are no brand or marking on the sheep. So how does he get the sheep that are his? He watched this take place, apparently. He says he calls them by name. The shepherd, right here, the sheep don't have to be identified because they know their shepherd's voice. And he said this, when he starts out over the hill, in other words, the shepherd comes, all these sheep are in the same fold, and there's no marks on them. I mean, who belongs to who? What sheep is which? So the shepherd would just go out on a field somewhere, and when he starts over the hill, he starts calling out with his unusual call, you see, his unique call. And his sheep, interesting, just start coming out of the fold and start following the voice because they know him. They know his voice. Here's what the Lord said. The sheep follow me because they know my voice. A man in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own that had been missing for many days. But when the case went to court, the judge was puzzled, not knowing how to decide the matter. Is it his? Is it not? Is it this man or that man's? Apparently, two men were saying, that's my sheep, that's my sheep. At last, the judge asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. Bring the sheep in here. Forget man's word, bring the sheep. Then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside and call the animal. So he did. He stepped outside and called the animal, but the sheep made no response except to raise its head and look frightened. The judge then instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and call the sheep. And when the accused man began to make his distinctive call, the sheep bounded toward the door. It was obvious that he recognized the familiar voice of his master. Here's what the judge said. He knows that his sheep knows him. Case dismissed. Are you listening to me? Oliver Green put it this way. I'm going to apply this to what this means, okay? in spite of the fact that sheep are said to be the most stupid of animals, they have some of the most remarkable characteristics. For instance, get this, they have a singular faculty to hear and recognize the voice of their shepherd. Get this, a tiny day-old lamb among thousands of sheep will recognize the voice of its mother. Did you know that? Just a day old. And can tell, that's mama. Glory, friends. In the same way, a true believer knows when God is speaking. A true believer can recognize that's the shepherd's voice. Let me explain this by asking a question. Can you smell lies? Can you sense when another voice is calling out, follow me, follow me, follow me? Can you tell the difference between the honest shepherd and the thief? Can you discern the voice of God from the voices of the world? When something is against the truth of the Word of God and against the true voice of Jesus Christ, does it rub you wrong? Something's just not right about that. Are you listening to me? If you're a sheep, you know the truth. Amen. And you can sense falsehood. Number two, this is kind of two in one, but it's right from verses 3 to 5. They know the shepherd's voice, but number two, the sheep, get this now, here it is. It's two F's here, okay? They follow the shepherd and they flee from strangers. It's right here in front of you. Look at verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Notice this now. And the sheep follow him. That's where I get they follow the shepherd, for they know his voice. Notice this. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. There's where I get flee from strangers, follow the shepherd. For they know not the voice of strangers. And I get this. The Lord said he leads his sheep out. He goes before them and they follow him. You know what the word follow means? It means they accompany him and they go in the same way with him. That's what it means. He also says a stranger the sheep will not follow, but rather they will flee from him because they don't know his voice. You know what the word flee means? It means they vanish. It means they vanish from him. They shun him. They run away from him. One man said a traveler in the Holy Land tells about stopping one day at a watering place. And he saw three shepherds come down to the water with their flocks, a total of about 100 sheep in all. And soon the three flocks intermingled, and an outsider could never tell to which shepherd the sheep belonged. But soon one shepherd walked away a little distance and gave his call, and his flock of sheep separated themselves from the others and followed him. They followed the voice of their shepherd, but they would not follow a stranger. You know, it's the same with a real Christian. There's not much preaching like this now, friends. But may I say this to you? It's the same way with a real Christian. He knows the difference between the call of the Lord and the call of lies. He turns his back on lies and follows the truth. Now, friends, listen to me. Oliver Green put it well, said, born again, blood-washed children of God, do not go astray after error. One man said, anyone who has walked through a field where sheep are grazing is familiar with this trait. Sheep are not drawn to strangers. They run from them. We need to be suspicious of those who seek to approach the flock of God, but who are strangers. Now, get this. This does not mean that God's sheep never respond to the call of false shepherds. It is possible to be led astray. But the redeemed of Christ cannot absolutely, unreservedly, completely give themselves over to false teaching. I'll amen myself. Because that's the truth. Rather, there will be some kind of following the true shepherd. This is one of the evidences of being a sheep in the fold. Can I apply this? Show me somebody who puts themselves persistently under the leadership, teaching, influence of one who teaches contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I show you somebody who is not a sheep. Now, is it possible that you could hear something and it's contrary and it kind of throws you for a loop? Sure. But true sheep eventually know what the truth is. And they will not go into the fold of goats for very long. It won't happen. It won't happen. I'm telling you, as Oliver Green said, he gave me a lot of help on these verses, can you tell? He said, fellow believer, if you are attending a modernistic church where a liberal gospel is preached, denying the virgin birth, the verbal inspiration of the Bible, the blood atonement, the return of Jesus, or any other fundamental doctrine of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, you should get out of that church, he says. You should not expose yourself to error, and it is gross sin to support a minister or a church where error is preached. Read 2 John verses 7 to 11. No thinking person would trust his business affairs to a lawyer who was known to be dishonest. And no thinking person would use the services of a doctor who was a known quack. Amen. And he goes on, by the way, this Oliver Green saying this. He says, we should be a million times more careful of things concerning the welfare of our soul than we are in matters of this life. And I say amen to that. By the way, you say, Jody, you're telling me that if somebody is teaching a false doctrine, I should shun them, I should vanish from them? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. Amen. God says, my sheep, when they don't recognize my voice, it's a voice of somebody else calling them. Hey, there's only one good shepherd. There's only one great shepherd. There's only one chief shepherd. And his sheep know his voice. His sheep know the truth. And they will not follow strangers. They will follow him. And I'm telling you this morning that God does not look well on people who are trying to lead sheep astray. He doesn't. He doesn't. Matter of fact, he calls them, notice this now, it's a notable fact that the severest, I'm talking about the severest denunciations which are found in the scriptures are reserved for false teachers. Listen to what Jesus said. Here's what he said about them. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He called them a bunch of snakes. All you are is a bunch of snakes. That's Matthew 23, 14, 24, and 33. By the way, there's too much denunciation of the wrong things. But there's everything right for denouncing the things that Jesus would denounce. And I'm telling you this, my friends, if somebody would ever come in here in a Sunday school class or ever stand right here in this pulpit and try to preach anything contrary to this Word of God, I shouldn't be the only one standing up. There ought to be deacons and faithful men and faithful women of God standing up and say, we don't believe that here, amen, get out of the pulpit. Yes, sir. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's dangerous. Because there are thieves, there are robbers, and what they're trying to do is sneak into the fold to lead the sheep astray. So too the Apostle Paul, what he say about him? He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 11:13. What did Peter say about him? 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water, Clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. What did Jude say about them? Verses 12 and 13. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Unspeakably solemn are these. Would that their alarm might be sounded forth today as a warning to those who are so careless, whose ministry they sit under. May I say this to you? We are not the only church in this place. There are other good Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches. I am not talking and speaking out about those churches. May God help them to reach as many as possible. Amen. But there are other churches who are preaching another gospel. They are preaching another Christ. They are presenting another shepherd. But they're drawing people in because of their children's programs, because of this program, or the music they listen to, or the music they use, or they're trying to do this. May I say this to you? What makes a church a godly church is the truth, friends. The truth. And may I say this to you, friends? We need to sound the alarm on false teachers. That's what Jesus did. Because can you put yourself in His place? He knows the truth. He knows He's the only way to heaven. And look at all these false teachers that get up, and those in their fold who don't know any better, hear them say, just do the best you can, and God will have mercy on your soul. Everybody's going to make it to heaven, just on different roads. Are you listening to me? That is against the teaching of the Good Shepherd. No wonder He said, you're blind guides. You're a bunch of snakes. You're a generation of vipers, because they were preaching something that was sending people to hell, friends. May we ever tie ourselves down to the Good Shepherd. And may we say the same thing He says. You know, before we move on to the service tonight, I'm not going to be here that long. I'm just saying, before we get there to the service tonight, some of you will catch that by freight sometime later today. Hey, may I say this to you? We may have somebody here today that maybe you're moving to another area, or God may give you a job somewhere else, or maybe you're visiting, but you're just visiting, you're just passing through, and you may never come back to this church again. I hope you do, but maybe you don't. Can I send forth a warning to you? Wherever you land, it doesn't have to be here. But wherever you land, you make sure it's the Good Shepherd's teaching being taught. And you make sure it's not a false prophet, a thief, or a robber in the pulpit trying to sneak into the fold some other way. Amen, friends. Can you prove that you're a sheep? Do you know when God is speaking? Is there some evidence in your life that you're following the shepherd? That may only be a step. Hope it's further than that. But may I say it this way? True sheep, I'm talking about the long run. I'm not saying that they can't ever turn away. Sure, they can turn away, but they can't stay away. You understand the difference? Are you at least pointed in the right direction? And are you vanishing, fleeing, shunning from strangers? You know, it's a challenge to me this morning. It kind of makes my blood boil, to be honest with you. There are strangers in pulpits all across America. What we mean by strangers are those who are preaching something contrary to the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Can you prove that you're a sheep? There was a little girl who was taught at Sunday school the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And they taught him those first five words in an interesting way. They taught him by the five fingers on their hands, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." She trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's just a little girl, and He was now her shepherd, and she knew it. "The Lord is my shepherd." One day, this girl was killed tragically in an avalanche. And she was buried underneath tons of snow. This little girl who learned her five words, "The Lord is my shepherd," on her five fingers. But when she was dug out, she was doing something interesting. She was dead, but they noticed something about her. She had grabbed a hold of her fourth finger and just held on to it. "The Lord is my shepherd." You can't help but think that that little girl was grabbing a hold of that one finger, knowing at that moment, yes, He is the Good Shepherd. Yes, He is the Chief Shepherd. But thank God, I can call Him my Shepherd. And I ask you this question in closing. Can you grab your fourth finger and say, "I know the Lord is my Shepherd"? How do you know? Because you know His voice. You follow Him and you flee from strangers. And you know He's the right one because He came through the right way, the door. And the porter confirms Him in your heart. That's Him. That's Him. You ever heard that song? That's Him. Talking about when He spoke the peace to the raging waves, and it said, I think the wind tapped the waves on the shoulder or vice versa and whispered, saying, "That's Him. That's Him." You know what the Holy Spirit of God does in this day, the church age, while He's calling out a bride? The Holy Spirit of God, with only one shepherd, only one, the Holy Spirit of God will come to the heart of sinful man and whisper when He's talking about Jesus, "That's Him. That's Him." He won't do that with anybody else, but He'll do it with the Good Shepherd. And I wonder this morning, is the Holy Spirit calling out to you saying, "That's Him. That's Him"? And if He has already, you are a Christian, you are part of the sheep. Before we even get to the thoughts that made me want to fall down and worship, I begin those tonight. Maybe you want to get on your face this morning and just say, in a world where turmoil is running rampant and America's turning in the wrong direction and Christians are being murdered around the world, I just want to get on my face as a bleeding sheep and say, "Thank You that I know You are my shepherd." Because the security and safety of the sheep is the responsibility of the shepherd. Which means we're as safe as He wants us to be. And may the Lord help us to see this. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, as we're studying these verses together, is God speaking to your heart? Is the Good Shepherd ministering to your heart and spirit? Are you truly a sheep in His fold? How many of you today, as soon as they get prepared, they'll begin to play through softly. But how many of you today say, Jody, I'm glad that I know. I don't hope, I don't think, I know that I am one of His sheep. I know His voice. I follow Him. I flee from strangers. And I can say that I'm glad that I'm a sheep in the shepherd's fold. Have you know that you are a sheep and not a goat? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. God bless you. Thank you. By the way, isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Amen. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I cannot say that I know I'm one of the sheep, but I sure would like to be able to. I'd like to know this good shepherd, that there's only one of them. We've not even gotten to what He's going to do for you and what He does for the sheep. If you're here today and say, pray for me, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I want to become a sheep today. Is there anybody like that? I will not come to your seat, but I will pray for you. Anybody at all, would you raise your hand? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. And let me ask you this question. Have you know today that there's somebody that you love who has been sucked into some kind of a false teaching? Another gospel, another message, another shepherd. And they're sucked into this. How many of you all know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Yes. If you got your hand raised, I want you to listen to me. You can put your hand down. I want you to listen to me. What would the Lord have you do? I do not believe He would have you go and bash them. That's not the Spirit of Christ. But I do believe He would have you go to them in love. And say, may I just tell you who the real shepherd is? Because there's only one shepherd that's going to get you to heaven. Maybe you ought to come and pray for that person that you raised your hand for. And ask God to give you a Christ-like spirit and the boldness to go to them in love. And say, can I give you the truth? I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, I pray, and use it. As he sings, if God is speaking to you, if you want to come and pray for that one that you raised your hand for, as he sings, you come now. Would you do that?
Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest. By trusting in His Word, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Let's sing one more, Brother Gary. If nobody comes, nobody else comes, we'll be done.
Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land, where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Playing through, Miss Charlotte. You can look this way. This is Miss Emily Orr. We're glad you're here today. God bless you, ma'am. And Miss Orr, on visitation this week, two of our men went by and had the privilege to talk to her, and in your home this week, you prayed to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Is that correct? And she's coming to make it public today. Isn't that great? Visitation, soul winning still works, friends. And this is the will of God, and we're so happy for you. God bless you. I'm going to ask you just to stay right there with Miss Charlotte. Encourage many of you ladies to come by and shake her hand and welcome her to the family of God. And we hope you'll stay in here with us and let us help you and encourage you. God bless you. If you're happy for her, say a big amen. Would you do that? Be back tonight as we start on the service of the Good Shepherd. What a service he does for his sheep. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Brother Steve McNeely, sir, if you'll dismiss us, please.
Thank you, Lord, for what we heard today. Thank you that there's only one truth. Thank you for your word that allows us to know what that truth is. Thank you for this new second Christ, may every soul that walks out this building today know you as their Savior. Thank you for what you've done for us.